Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Robux Podcast. We are here kicking it with episode number 11 in the house. We've got
Jersey Girl,
Link,
and AG.
Yeah, let's get this party started.
Wow, okay, thank you. We've got a hype man now, is that? Do we have the budget for that?
I don't think so.
A Japanese guy, where are these freaks coming from and how do they keep getting in the studio?
He was dressed very nice.
Oh, okay, so our bouncer, like, legit is like a club bouncer who lets people in based on...
Yeah, check out these threads, yo! They are so fresh! Very fresh, huh?
Oh, okay, all right, I don't know that we'll be able to pay you.
It's okay, ain't no thing. Yo, I got you.
Cool. Wait, is anyone here getting paid?
No. Well, I mean, we've got a great sponsor. Our hype man's probably from our sponsor this week. Universal Music Group.
I knew I had a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Okay, it all makes sense now. Universal Music Group is our sponsor this week. So, props to Universal Music Group. Thank you very much. The hits keep coming. Headed up by, of course, the one, the only, the incomparable, Lucien LaGrange, who's very interesting. Maybe had a little bit of spotlight thrust on him by our lovely Ms. Owens, who was featured in last year's sponsorship drive. I'm not sure if Candace reported on this before or after departing from the Daily Wire, but this kind of ropes into the whole P. Diddy thing that everybody's talking about. P. Diddy, what? Yeah,
that sounds right.
Hey,
that hype man from the sponsor, he ain't connected to this, is he?
No, kid. I was just sent by the company, man. It's cool.
They need some good publicity now, because
things are not looking great for Lucien LaGrange and his proximity to Diddy. You know, but. Like, we're seeing all this great footage of the FBI raiding P. Diddy's compound. And, like, I seem to remember similar footage when Jeffrey Epstein went down. Fucking hell. Like, they took all of his secret videotapes and shit out of his New York apartment back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And then they returned it to him. Like, oh, Jeffrey, you know that spank bank you have on, like, all the rich and powerful elites? Like, here, have this bag. We don't need that for evidence of anything, even though it probably contains, you know, not just sensitive material, but crimes against underage and or trafficked women. Like, just keep that. Keep your spank bank. We made copies of the stuff we liked, and, you know, ain't no thing. So, like... FBI is obviously short for forgetting investigations of, I don't know, of what.
Fucking brain dead idiots.
Fucking brain dead. Oh, I forgot the B. I put, oh, sure, the B at the end. I am very dyslexic tonight. I don't know what. I had a conversation with my mom earlier today. I kept, like, inverting letters, and I was like, I can't do this.
Welcome to my life every goddamn day.
I usually do it with numbers, not letters, but today I've been very, like, I can't get the key put up. Yeah, so our FBI friends are taking all of Diddy's stashes. I don't know if it's going to trace back to Mr. LaGrange, who wasn't always Lucien LaGrange. That was kind of cool. Candace Owens, like, went down some wormhole, rabbit hole, and found out that he was, like, the son of a designer, and he was named Michael G as a little boy, but his dad actually had a different name, and he changed his name. So, like, it's not like this family has anything to hide, obviously.
Oh, yeah, no. And that's why I said he did it in Epstein himself.
Not yet. Not yet. Give him time. There's always time. We've talked a lot about how people could end up in the Epstein circle. Like, oh, people just would have known that they were going to some kind of pedophile island or something like that. And I've always kind of contended, now, like, no, artists are kind of dumb. Like, we just want that chance to make it. And you tell us, like, oh, if you go to this party, you'll you'll have access to someone who is like wealthy. You'll have access to some good managers, some good talent scouts, some good agents. And so you're like, yeah, sure, I'm there. And then you...
Once they're there, you...
Right? Well, I mean, there's that really interesting interview with Mel Gibson where he's like, you're looking around. And you're like, is this really what's happening? Like, could this really be? And you're like, nah. And you're like, yeah. And he doesn't actually say what it is, but, you know, probably pedophilia. Like, oh, are all these guys aren't just all here with their nieces that they're babysitting this at night, you know, like, or whatever gross thing. Jersey girl, you seem like you're, are you looking at PDD allegations? Are you thinking about something
else? No, I'm trying
not
to imagine breaking necks and, yeah.
Bloodlust? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair because we don't want a bloodlust against our generous sponsor, Lucien LaGrange, until he's proven guilty in a court of law. We want him to have his day in court.
Is it bad that I hear bloodlust and then Lucien LaGrange and then I think blood ritual? I'm like, it's just, I'm not accusing of anyone of anything.
So back to, you know, this like, oh, how would Epstein have had all these people with access? Well, obviously, P. Diddy was huge in the music industry, and it was really easy for him to round up young up-and-coming stars, and oh yeah, he threw some wild parties, and you don't talk about parties, because like, I mean, I've been at parties that weren't even like rich and powerful people, just like people get a little cray-cray, and you're like, yeah, I'm really glad we didn't have video of that, you know?
So, first rule of P. Diddy's parties, you don't talk about P. Diddy's parties.
right. So, and then you've got this disturbing footage of Justin Bieber as just a young kid and just kind of like wondering what the fuck was going on, you know? Because people just, they're chasing that dream, man. And then all of a sudden, before they know it, they're sucked into something really gross and evil and awful. So obviously, P. Diddy, I mean, it seems very, I don't want to say obviously, it seems very likely that P. Diddy is tied into the same world as Epstein and probably fed people to Epstein as well as running his own operation. That would seem
likely.
Mm, yeah.
I wonder how many more threads and cells we'll find Beyonce, Jay-Z.
So, I mean, that seems like it could be what's next.
I mean, it just so happens there was that one singer, rapper, whoever the hell he was, that just got done working with her, and he's suddenly dead, so...
Like Bill Gates? Well, he's dead.
So I mean...
my one irritation with the P. Diddy things is that it sounds like there's more there than the media is telling us, because you've got these allegations like, oh, there was this, and but all of the charges so far seem to be... We've got wall art committing seppuku right now. I wish you guys could see this. We've just got like things falling off the walls at us, and it's like,
yeah, we've been fighting with some of our foam
with our acoustic stuff. So in any event, I want to see real charges. I feel right at this moment that we've got all these witnesses for Diddy and like all these allegations and people saying, yeah, there's cameras in the bedrooms, just like Epstein. Mm-hmm. But we never saw charges in the Epstein case that had to do with like collecting blackmail and RICO statutes and stuff like that. And we haven't seen anything like that. Like, honestly, the charges that they've released so far against Diddy are very milquetoast. Like, nothing that he couldn't wriggle his way out of thus far. I want to see...
conclusive evidence.
Well, yeah, but I want to see
where the people are.
I want to see where all the bodies are buried. Show me the vids of the rich and powerful committing crimes. Show me bank statements of illegal human trafficking. Cash is required for getting laid now. wine. That's going to get us in trouble with that other sponsor we had a few months ago. Uh-huh. Anyways.
Oh, shit.
Japanese guy. So okay, we're crossing the lines. We're crossing the streams. Let's go ahead and say thank you to Universal Music Group. Thank you. Good luck, Diddy. You're going to need it. All right, that brings us to Ambulance Chasers. That is like a literal German Krankenwagen. The word in German for like a ambulance is sick car.
I think that ambulance needs an ambulance.
I think it needs a crank or two.
So this comes for us to from sciencenews.org. Basically, it's sicko heal thyself. Patient-led research might be the answer for impatient patients. I mean, I don't think you're necessarily impatient if, like, you want. I know a handful of people right now that are going through medical issues. They're going through all these tests, like all these mm-hmm. tests, and then doctors are basically saying, "Well, we're not really finding anything. It could just be in your head, you know. Like maybe you should see a psychologist. You know, like maybe your crazy chronic fatigue or your muscle pain or your joint pain." And, you know, so I've had a few friends get past the point where, you know, in the testing where it's proven that something's going haywire in their bodies, but they still don't really know. So they have basically these blanket terms for chronic conditions. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, people are frustrated. And they might get some medication that relieves some symptoms, but if you don't really know the root cause of what's going on, how much relief can you expect to get? Mm-hmm. So there's this article, and this isn't a super new thing, actually, but I think it's taking on new life now that we're in this, you know, information super age, now that we've got so many ways to connect with people, and so much more data online than ever. It's basically, it starts its kind of special interest piece. Melissa Redhoffman was feeling really stuck last summer. A 50-year-old surgeon in Asheville had been struggling with long COVID since getting infected. So this woman was like a literal surgeon, and they weren't, yes, ma'am.
Hold on.
Yes.
She's talking about all these people, sicko, heal thyself. Oh, maybe it's in your head, but she thinks she had long COVID. Okay, that's cute.
Okay, continue. I still have, she's still alive. I have a friend who was diagnosed with COVID. She did get very sick. Mm-hmm. The timing of this was interesting though, because it was like her workplace was trying to mandate the shots, and she was holding out because she's had a history of bad reactions to vaccines. Mm-hmm. So she did not take the shot, but everybody in her workplace was kind of being funneled into having to take it. So she was the only person, and she worked in close quarters with these people. And as soon as they took the shot, they were no longer required to wear masks. So they took the shots, and within a couple weeks of taking their shots, everybody there got really, really sick. And she also got really, really sick. And then when she started to recover from the illness that was diagnosed as COVID, they were mm-hmm. all diagnosed with COVID. Mm-hmm. There was literally, she was actually back to work before her friends who took the shot and got her sick. I mean, it's just such a shame. They managed to make it through the whole pandemic without getting sick, and then they took the shots, and thank God they had taken the shots before they got sick, because can you imagine how sick they would have been, you know? And obviously they
got through that without laughing.
They got her less sick than she would have gotten if they hadn't taken the shots. So the fact that she was less sick than they were, even though she didn't take the shots, was just the protectiveness of their shots protecting her. Anyways, so she was diagnosed with COVID. And then she got better from her symptomatic COVID faster than all of the other people. But what lingered was she wound up having just really horrific systemic swelling and fibromyalgia-style symptoms and stuff, and just kind of cascading issues with inflammation and pain. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been considered a long COVID kind of thinks.
I hope she didn't have any trouble with supporting cells in her brain, because I know hand sanitizers were a big thing with the COVID mm-hmm. shit, and now they're linked to damaging those cells.
Ah, hand sanitizers damage brain cells, especially if you sniff. Oh my god! Can I just tell you how much, if I had a dime for every time I saw somebody sanitize their hands and like literally sniff and like, oh, it smells so, like they were huffing hand sanitizer during the pandemic. Like, it's like, yeah, maybe those masks saved a few brain cells. I mean, because they put them right up by their face like, oh, my hands smell so sanitized, you know, and some of them were, you know, whatever, cucumber and mint sanitizers, but mostly they just smelled like shitty alcohol, like well liquor, you know.
Why is the wallpaper dancing?
Yo, 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 did I hear somebody say alcohol?
Shut, 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 shut. No, 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 no. I'm sorry. We drink coffee this time of night because it's actually morning.
It's already sorry, the next day sorry. Again.
Yo, you keep partying like that. I respect. Thank you. I don't think we need more hype.
Yo. You can always use more hype.
All right. Well, we're talking about a medical issue now.
Where's our bouncer? We just hired the new bouncer from last week.
Hi. Oh, yes, sir. They need you to not be so hypey now, or else I can give you a sword and you can kill yourself.
Yo, hey. We straight up, friend. No, it's good. All right. Anyways, this is getting to be a crowded studio. So this was, you know, a doctor, and she found online Remission Biome, a research project that started in 2023. And it was a grouping of people suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic disease that share symptoms with long COVID. And the participants have taken medical research into their own hands to determine how to test changes to their gut bacteria, see if that can improve health. I have heard theories about that that sound really interesting. I really do think the study of like microbiome gut health has a lot of positive ramifications for mm-hmm. us and for health in general. And after initial tests with three participants led to some symptom relief, Romuk and Fowler announced last July that they would recruit 50 people and do a larger sample testing of the protocol. And Hoffman was one of 500 people who applied, and she got selected, and she started to see some results. So this is a surgeon who was like, I've had this condition all this time. I work in the medical industry. Nothing is moving forward. I'm just going to join this independent study of people. So I think ultimately it's not a bad thing. I mean, obviously if you're, you know, mixing your own drugs in your basement, it can become a bad thing pretty quickly. And given where we live, that could happen. But they're hopeful, you know, patient researchers and their scientist collaborators. So they collaborate with scientists. Mm-hmm. They do the mixing of the chemicals in the basement, apparently. I don't know. Say the patient-led approach has big potential to move chronic disease research forward, making it more informed, quicker, and poised to directly improve patients' lives. And, I mean, obviously, like, people are able to join this of their own free will, which I'm cool with, which is mm-hmm. way better than saying, like, hey, we want to test this drug. Everybody put out your arm, drive up to the speedway with your arm out the window, and we'll put something in it, and it'll make you safe and effective.
And if you don't, you can't go back to work.
It's federal mandate.
But, you know, they're hopeful that projects like Remission Biome, quote, are going to change how research into these chronic multi-organ system diseases is going to be done, Hoffman says. So something like this would be beneficial to my friend who, although she's on protocols that are definitely helping with the symptoms, she still has shitty days. She still wakes up, like, not able to move. Her job that she really loved and she worked at for a number of years, they just were not accommodating for her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's been on medical leave of absence for a big long time because they refused to put her in a different job where she wouldn't have to move around and walk so much.
So basically, they forced the bullshit on her, and now she's suffering the repercussions of said bullshit, and they refuse to rectify in some form or fashion what they essentially caused. by enforcing the bullshit.
I mean,
checks out.
It checks out. So, yeah, this could become the standard part of standard mainstream research. But this isn't the first time. There have been groups that have done... There was actually a movie in the 90s called Lorenzo's Oil, which was really good. I recommend it. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, like Lorenzo's Oil. But that existed before the internet. Mm-hmm. So it was like so much harder for the family in Lorenzo's Oil to get the medical experts and the researchers and the other people together. Mm-hmm. And they discovered that using a combination of fatty acid chains, just found in rapeseed oil and some other kind of oil. Rapeseed was one of them. But like they found that that was something that they could treat their son with, and it, cause he had ALD and that's fatal within 2 years. And so the doctors were just like, yeah, sorry, your kid's going to die in 2 years. Take him to Chuck E. Cheese a few times. You know, like it's just the fact that, oh, it's rapeseed oil and olive oil. Those are the oils that actually help people with something that simple. Of course, the Pharma Institute doesn't want us to find that. That's what they're really afraid of. They're like, oh, don't find out how to treat health. We want to be able to hold your health ransom hostage for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, in this very positive article, they also kind of like issue caution and they say,
if you're doing the expert's job, why are we paying the experts for it? You can't do that.
It's like, be careful. This is, you know, it's a nice thing to try, but also be careful because we don't necessarily want you to find out something. We don't want you to find a way to cure this that doesn't take a lot of money from other people.
Pretty much.
So anyways, that's kind of the long and the short of it. So if you're sick, maybe find a group of other sick people. I know that's what the three of us have done.
But we're sick in the head. Does that count?
I think so. Yeah. So anyways, that's this week's Ambulance Chasers. I think the Krankenwagen needs a Heimlich maneuver. It's choking on some exhaust. All right. That brings us to move along. Nothing to see here.
Speaking of exhaust.
Lahoma, where a barge collides with the bridge. Yeah. Bet you didn't know we had another bridge colliding with the barge. No, the barge collides with the bridge.
What are you talking about? You said it right. The bridge colliding with the barge.
Yeah, that naughty bridge. Just getting in the way of that barge. I find it interesting that in both of these collisions, we've got like this pure, unobstructed video. I mean, what are the odds that somebody's just in the right place at the right time to catch something that wasn't supposed to happen at all?
Oh my God, are you filming this?
I mean, yes! So if you watch the video of this, and it's AP released the video of this, and it's like three people with like fakeish southern accents like talking. I'm like, it sounds like they hired a local improv troupe to like go down there with a camera, film something, and react to it. You know, like maybe they didn't tell them what they were going to be filming, but you know, it sounds so
candid camera.
No, that's just like it doesn't sound. It sounds like it kind of sounds forced. I think I don't know. I'm very critical, but nothing feels like real life anymore. Everything feels like it's just being staged.
Everything feels like fantasy.
No, everything feels like bad writing.
What a twist!
Exactly. So I mean, this is less than a week and a half. From
roughly
the Baltimore
bridge
collision,
which
we still haven't gotten to the bottom of. I don't know. I think it's been blamed on everything from white supremacy.
I'll tell you what is the bottom. All those fucking cars. They said that, oh, there were no cars that went in the river. And then they're like, oh, there were cars.
Except for the ones that went in the river.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on! Anyway, let's see.
under the river, off the bridge.
So many are dead.
We don't know how many, and we don't quite care. Oh my god! It's all just to fuck with your head. Oh my god! I think this is turning into a musical episode, y'all. I don't know.
A bunch of bridges falling down, falling down, falling down.
I mean, the Baltimore Bridge was named after the guy that wrote the Star Spangled Banner,
Francis Scott Key. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. It's just...
Oh,
this apocalypse was written by...
Bridges crashing into bridges.
This apocalypse is written by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
End times. I don't have it. I don't know. It's the first Andrew Lloyd Webber song that got in my head. Anyways,
if you strip away the myth from the bridge,
I close my eyes, cause there's so much horror in the world around me. It's too fucked up to be true. North, south, and east, everybody's weeping, cause we're all still sleeping. Wake the fuck up, all of you. Anyways, okay. Now it's brought to you by Andrew Lloyd Webber. A crashing bridge, some diving cars.
Nighttime shoppings, each single collision.
Okay. So this is only the second bridge that we're aware of. Presumably, no fatalities, no damage to the bridge to speak of. This bridge was sturdier than the other bridge. So obviously, move along. Nothing to see here.
Yep.
Freak accident.
Mm-hmm.
Just coincidence.
Yep.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Oh, and on that note. The Coast Guard did end its active search and rescue mission.
That's in Baltimore, though.
Okay. Yeah, just throwing that out there. They're no longer searching.
Yeah, well, you know, give those bodies long enough and they'll float. I mean, it's definitely not rescue at this point. Let's be real. Yeah, yeah. It's like...
It's recovery now.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Two bodies were recovered.
And we have no idea how many more are...
Down there, yeah.
C'est la vie. Okay. Move along. Nothing to see. Nope. Okay, so that brings us to the countdown to the apocalypse. We're busting seals. We've almost got 7 seals to bust open tonight.
I'm determined to find that 7th one. I swear to you. I will find a 7th one.
Well, let's start with seal number 1. It's the solar eclipse coming up on April 8th during a new moon. It coincides with the new moon, and it is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days from the last eclipse, or 7 months, 6 years, seven months, and like 2 weeks. But no, that doesn't sound as good as 6666666. Jersey Girl, did you want to talk? You were talking about like the new moon versus the full moon and what that could entail.
So energetically speaking, and Link, you can correct me if I goof this up.
All right.
But the full moon is essentially when you are manifesting the possibilities that are already available and you're giving them new life and you're enhancing what's already there and bringing it over the brim, bringing it to the brink.
So like when you're mooning somebody with your full moon and your whole butt comes over the brim of your pants to manifest, like, this is my ass, y'all.
It's more like it's a great time to release and get rid of what no longer serves you.
Yeah, if your ass is already out of your pants, definitely. I advise your ass to be fully...
You're talking about the full moon or the new moon?
It's the full moon.
It's supposed to be the full moon. And it's also used for cleansing and...
Full moon is the moon is... the energies of the moon are in its full potential.
Yes.
And so it's a time to finalize what you started. It's a time to manifest what you've been working towards.
Right. Exactly. And then the
But that's not this one. This one is not a full moon. It's
the new moon.
Our lunar eclipse was the full moon. the solar eclipse taking place during the new moon, which NASA plans to utilize said shadow.
We'll get to that.
The new moon is for setting intention to later manifest, and it'll be much easier to manifest using those energies of said new moon.
Yeah, the new moon is about new beginnings. It's about starting projects. It's about rethinking what you've been doing so far. It's more of a time of a planning.
Reflecting!
Planning towards the full moon.
So it's just like the crack peeking out. It's not,
yeah.
It's not fully over the brim of your pants yet.
I'm sorry, I'm 5 years old. Okay, no, 12. I'm 12 years old.
Are you sure? Because I would believe if you were 5.
Yeah, I didn't talk about asses when I was 5. Maybe farts, but not asses.
New moon is the time when you say, "Hey, everybody, I got something to show you."
And the full moon is once you drop chow. Got it. Yeah, that makes total sense.
So then the first quarter is when it's being like mid-pull, and then the last quarter is when you're pulling.
Yeah,
pulling.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then the old moon.
The old moon is all saggy.
I'm sorry, moon. We love you.
Okay, so I think it's interesting that you're talking about it being a time to set intention. I feel like there's been a huge push with this particular eclipse to instill fear in the populace. And I've never experienced that before in my life. I'm like, what the fuck, you pansies? Like, they're closing banks, they're closing schools, they're acting like, ah, the world is on fire. We could have, you know, electrical disruptions.
It's Y2K on steroids!
It's like they're trying to create Y2K out of a routine fucking solar eclipse.
I think I've been there in 1999.
Yeah, yes, So, I think the best thing anyone listening could do is to just, like, look at this as a transformation time and set a lot of positive intentions and just, like, fill themselves with love and gratitude and all the good things, I think, is what we should do, because they're trying to make us scared. So, like, the best thing to do when they're trying to scare us is just
be scared.
I'm scared. You can't scare me. I'm the gingerbread man. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
And laugh in their faces as you do it.
Yes. And moon them.
Full moon.
All right, so that's one seal. Bust it open. We've got a second seal. NASA to launch 3 rockets at 3:33 p.m. into the shadow of the moon in Operation Serpent Duty. Link, would you like to talk about this one a little bit?
NASA is launching 3 rockets in the dark side of the moon, and they're calling it Operation APAP.
APAP. Okay, so it's not called Serpent Deity, it's APAP, but APAP
but
was...
What is APAP? In Egyptian mythology, APAP is the giant serpent that wants to eat the sun god Ra.
And just so the Shadow Banners heard, we said APAP, not to be confused with a lobbyist organization we've talked about in past episodes. APAP. Anyways.
Who knows? Maybe that's where they got the name too. It just changed a little bit.
I don't know.
Technically, since we're talking about Egypt, we need to be careful because, you know, certain histories.
So I was saying, like, okay, so if this is a serpent deity who's supposed to swallow the sun.
The sun, according to Egyptian mythology.
And they're using 3 rockets. All I could think about was Bill Gates' recent experiments. And this is, y'all, this is NBC News. This is mainstream media that nobody's paid attention to. But he's gotten permission from the freaking federal government and talked about widely this idea that to save the planet, to save us from the dangerous, dangerous sun, he's going to spew toxic chemicals into our atmosphere to, like, dim the sun, because it's not going to inhibit food growth.
No.
Or vitamin D absorption.
No.
Or have any adverse effects on our water and soil and air quality at all.
Let's see. Either have the sun burn my skin or have his chemicals fry my skin. Neither sound very appealing to me.
Well,
how about not play God at all and just leave it the fuck alone?
But you'll be on an environmental lockdown, so you won't be able to go outside
anymore. He can eat a dick.
I'm sure he
he does. probably some that are still attached to people because he's a sick fuck. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. That's defamation. I apologize, Bill Gates. I'm sure you
have
dicks that have been detached from people who are no longer.
Well, he's dead, so.
I'm not sorry.
But yeah, so I'm like, Operation APEP, three rockets into the sky. Like, are they going to fucking dim the sun? Like, is that their, or are they, do they think that, like, it'll pass over and then they can, like, dim the sun and we won't notice that they dimmed the sun? That, like, when it comes back, it'll be, I don't know.
That's why they're predicting all the technological difficulties, because a lot of shit is solar energy now. And if you dim the sun, how the fuck is it going to power anything that requires it?
Ah, California. I knew thee well. All those Teslas just stuck because they can't plug in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It just shows to go, yeah. Because they weren't real Teslas.
I just hope Jimmy Dore's studio has, like, a gas generator.
Will the real Tesla please show himself? Oh, wait. He's dead.
Okay, so anyways, that's our second seal. Busted open. All right, our third seal. CERN is going to start back up during the eclipse to study, I'm not sure if it's mini black holes or the Higgs boson particle or open a portal, like basically reports of all things.
Or all three.
Are up there. Or maybe all three. Probably opening a portal to hell. You guys, I'm sorry, I don't believe in the Higgs boson particle. I've got my own theory about the quote-unquote particle physics, because in the particle zoo bullshit, I really think that outside of the atom and the components of the atom, there's nothing more that's three-dimensional. I think that's like the bottom level of three-dimensionality. And that all these quote-unquote particle zoo pieces that they come from blasting neutrons and electrons together are now no longer a three-dimensional thing, but like they're splitting into smaller dimensions, which would if you're splitting dimensions, if you're taking three-dimensional objects, even like teeny tiny ones, and blowing them apart so that there's nothing three-dimensional left, are you opening portals into other dimensions? That's science by AG. not reported by any papers. This is just my own theory of things. But yeah, so CERN, like, is an interesting place. By the way, we got a lot of these details from the Thrive Time show, the April 8th, 2024 edition. Thrive Time, Clay Clark is kind of cray cray, and he's a very religious person. If you can, you know, he loves the Book of Revelation, and he's got all this, like, worked out, whatchamacallit, a beautiful mind. Like you say, he's read Revelation. He thinks he's got the whole thing decoded. And presumably CERN is located at, like, the seat of Satan, as referred to in Revelation. Like, it's built on top of an ancient Greek city that's named in the Book of Revelation. And that's supposed to be, like, where the throne of Satan is. And that's where they built CERN, y'all. I don't think it was a coincidence.
Probably not.
Nah.
I also blame CERN for Mandela effects, and that's something we can talk about another time, because I could go down a whole different rabbit hole talking about that. But yeah, that is our third seal. Bust it open. Okay.
Not as open as the portal to hell. No.
Not as open. I hope it's not. Oh, my Lord. Well, okay, speaking of our Lord and Savior, that takes us to our fourth seal. Here in the United States, yesterday, we celebrated the Trans Day of Resurrection.
Oh, what?
If that's not a sign of the fucking apocalypse, I'm not sure what is. Okay, so this wasn't on the Thrive Time special. This was just in the news everywhere. Our beloved imposter in chief, the head, the child snipper, he decided to declare Sunday, Easter Sunday, that this year fell on the 31st of March, Trans Day of Visibility. And, you know, here's the thing. You got trans people like Blair White, Rose Dunn, Buck Angel, and they don't really want to be visible. They don't really want to be visibly trans. They just want to be trans and have
a normal life.
Just have a normal life and just kind of blend in and not make a big deal about it. And all these weirdos like Jeffrey, whatever the fuck his name is, with the one who's
the Bud Light one.
No, that's Dylan Mulvaney.
Dylan Mulvaney.
Jeffrey, I can't think of his name, but he came after Blair White recently, and he's always got like a 5 o'clock shadow and lipstick and eyeliner, and then he sometimes wears dresses and talks like this. It's like, hey kids, you can DM me privately on my
you know, whatever. I don't think it's a Discord, but he's got like his own Telegram channel. He's always advertising to children. He's saying specifically children that he wants them to come and talk to him about being trans. He probably doesn't go by him, them, it. Anyway, so like, no, we don't need so, Christians. We got one day. We got one day, y'all. One day that pretty much all religions and even non-religious people are like, everyone gets at least one day. You know, the Biden administration, I put that in air quotes. So it's like, no, Christians don't get a day. They wouldn't even allow religious symbols at the White House during the quote unquote Easter party that they had at the White House. They banned all religious symbols and declared Easter the trans day of visibility. So, you know.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
What about what?
It's like the fall of Rome, but with...
No, I was just thinking...
Rainbow colors.
You said certain symbols, all religious symbols were banned, and I'm just thinking, are you sure all symbols?
Okay, that's fair.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Religious symbols with Christian significance that you would typically see during Easter were banned.
Gotcha. That's
what was banned. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were plenty of pyramids.
I'm sure there were six-pointed stars of Moloch, too.
All right, so that's another seal. Busted wide open. This one's, I just saw this. I cannot confirm nor deny. I just saw this, like, in the Thrive Time video show. It seemed like the guy, he showed some articles and stuff. But the cicadas are coming. Billions of cicadas on their first reunion tour since 1803.
I call bullshit!
Well, I mean, but cicadas do this. Like, they will go inert or they'll sleep or whatever for 100 years or something, and all of a sudden they'll wake up.
Hey, we were promised murder hornets and Korean flame-throwing squirrels. I am not believing anything about the cicadas until I see the murder hornets and the fucking squirrels.
Well, what if you see the cicadas before you see the murder hornets and the fucking squirrels?
I'm still going to demand the hornets and the squirrels. I want my fucking flame-throwing squirrels, damn it!
Okay. I'm sure they would be adorable and terrifying.
I don't know. To me, and I'm not a Bible follower like the two of you, but to me, the whole cicada thing reminds me of the plagues in Egypt.
Absolutely.
I send the dust and the mist and plague into your house, into your streets, into your drink, into your bread, upon your cattle, upon your sheep.
Speaking of cattle, cicadas were the fifth seal. Busted. All right, so for our sixth seal, y'all, we got to talk about the red heifers. There's a lot of shit going down with the red heifers. And, like, fucking... Glenn Beck did a piece on the red heifers. Now, Glenn Beck is a researcher, okay? He always brings receipts. And there's a lot of people talking about these heifers, and they seem to have the receipts. And it seems to be a real thing. So there is some prophecy. I don't think it's biblical. I think it's Talmudic. I think it's I don't think it's in, like, Revelation or anything. But the Jews believe that their Messiah will come when they build the temple for the third time. Mm-hmm. But right now, the temple mound is covered by the Dome of the Rock, which is the holiest shrine in all of Islam. And Hamas supposedly claimed that part of the reason for the October 7th attack was that they believed that Israel was gearing up to destroy the Dome of the Rock because they'd been tracking the red heifers. So a couple of years ago, apparently they've been looking for these red heifers for years and years because they need to sacrifice. I'm just like, seriously? We're doing animal sacrifice in the year 2024? Like, what the literal fuck? Like, this is so gross and so not, you know, if you're going to kill a cow, great. Let's have a barbecue. But don't fucking put it on an altar and do hoodoo voodoo and like slash and burn. And like, yes, they literally burn. This will be the 10th red heifer sacrifice since Moses. Apparently they have ashes from the 9 previous cows that have been sacrificed. I mean, this is like,
really?
This is a fucking WB young adult sci-fi, like supernatural Buffy angel charmed. I mean, I feel like
all meshed together.
Yes! I'm in a fucking WB series. This is not, how can this be real life? So the Jews believe they have to do this animal sacrifice to cleanse the Temple Mount. It has to be an unblemished red heifer. There was a farmer in Texas. They had 5 red heifers. So they've been rearing these 5 red, and they have to be fully red. They can't have more than like 1 white hair.
Two white hairs. Yeah.
Two white hairs, whatever. Two hairs coming out of a single follicle. They have to be unblemished. So if they have an ear tag, they're blemished.
Yeah.
If they have...
They couldn't have worked in their life. Right. They have to be female. There's a lot of requirements.
Yeah, heifer usually is a female. So,
are you sure these days?
If I was the heifer, I would identify as a male just to get away from the sacrifice.
Yeah, like, heifers, if you hear this, start humping each other. I get you out of this. So they have bought the land. They're going to do the sacrifice on the Mount of Olives, which is a very holy place in Christianity. But they...
Mount of Olives.
Yes. And they purchased land on the Mount of Olives where they can view Temple Mount from. And they built the altar, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of the altar going around the internet. And some people say, like, no, that's not... That couldn't be the altar from the Mount of Olives. It's a different altar from somewhere else in town. Whatever. I don't know. But they said they built the altar. They bought the land. I'm guessing they're going to use... the fucking lunar eclipse to do this shit.
All tied to the lunar eclipse.
Because what we've been waiting... To
the solar eclipse.
What? Did I say lunar eclipse?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The solar eclipse. I think they're going to
I said it too.
Thank you. Yeah. The reason that they haven't done it yet is because the heifers need to be in their third year, which starts as soon as they turn 2. Well, the heifers are of age, because we know how pedophiles work. I mean, the heifers are of age... being sacrificed. Well, you know, if you let them grow up too much, they're going to start working or defiling themselves or, you know, they'll be blemished.
But if they're 2 years old, what happened to the terrible 2s? Like, maybe we get them to throw a tantrum and they'll, like...
They're in their third year. If we let them age too much, they'll have blemishes all over their face. You know what happens. You get acne.
A lot of the horseplay. You know, they like to play horses a lot.
Yeah. So I have a dare out there for all the Hindus listening. Cause y'all know that cows are sacred in the Hindu religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course they don't want one of these. Oh, so one of the heifers has got disqualified, and then another heifer is like, it's on the skids. Like it's still technically a red heifer unblemished, but its fur is lighter color. So they've got like 3, they still have 3 red heifers.
Oh, they're discriminating on the color.
They are. Ooh. Yes. And so if I were a Hindu, which I'm not, I am a barbecue loving heathen. I would book myself a flight to Israel, find out where those heifers were kept. Yo, all you had to do, pierce their ears, give them a brand. I mean, not for nothing, I would give them a brand that said Christ is King, because I think that would just be like, if I was going to defile a cow for a Jewish ritual, like I would just be like,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If I were a Hindu, I know I would find you, and then I'd brand your ass.
You'd no longer be unblemished, and the world would last a little while. If Israel only had some class. Anyway. I cannot get over the fact that it's just like we've got weird ass people who think like we have to fulfill prophecy. Like, you know, the thing about prophecy is supposed to just be self-fulfilling. Like, if it doesn't fulfill itself, like
why would it be prophecy if you have to do anything?
Yeah, exactly. So I can't get behind killing a cow on an altar overlooking Temple Mount, because that's gonna, when they do that, that's going to send up some crazy red flag amongst all of the, I'm sorry, you've got extremist Israelis, you know, who are like, yeah, now let's take the Dome of the Rock, because it'll be purified then. Like, once they sacrifice this cow, that's going to purify the Temple Mound, and they're going to try to take down the Dome of the Rock. And then
I don't know, I'd like to follow something called logic, and logic-wise, when you sacrifice something, at least in an energy level, it's not to purify anything.
Generally speaking, no.
Generally speaking.
So, I mean, that's the thing. That's kind of like Christianity says that Jesus Christ sacrificing himself on Golgotha, on Calvary, like that put an end to the need for any kind of blood ritual, blood sacrifice, animal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that, in fact, the idea of doing, you know, communion Eucharist is sort of commemorating the fact that we don't have to have blood sacrifice anymore, because that there can be no blood spilt greater than the Son of God. Jews don't have that. So the Hasidic Jews, they're factions of Jews that still practice certain animal sacrifice to this day. I had no idea this still existed until I lived in a certain part of Brooklyn where there was some like super Orthodox Hasidic Jews, and they were selling fucking doves and pigeons and shit out of trucks during the holy days because they were for them to take home and sacrifice. And I was like, okay. So some people still do this, you know? And I was like, my mind was blown.
Yeah, and they
Christ, what more do you need to convince you that they're psycho and they're totally wrong? As these filth who rape your country and terrorize your people for so long. That's for Jesus. Those are like real lyrics, right?
I altered them a bit, yes. But they are, they Simon the Zealot, since we're talking about zealots.
Mm-hmm. Simon the Zealot sings that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ Superstar? Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Jews have some sects of Judaism have a ritual that they transfer their sins to a chicken and then torture the chicken.
Well,
horrific.
The original version of that was a goat. Yeah. And that one of their festivals of purification was they put their sins on a goat and they didn't torture the goat. Like the original sacrament was you put your sins on the goat and you sent the goat out into the wild, and that was the scapegoat. And no one was to touch that goat because that goat was kind of like Cain, you know, like it was close to, yeah, Cain. Mm-hmm. So you send the scapegoat out and just, yeah. And then
you just scapegoat. Were they at least nice enough to put a mark on it so you knew not to kill it? Or was it up for guess?
I think they maybe had to put some kind of mark on it. Like, you know, they would sacrifice a Passover lamb. Now the lamb was blemished and without spot, like their heifers. Hindus, I'm telling you, book a flight to Israel now. All you got to do is pierce its ears. Just pierce it, bejewel its hooves. You know, give it a makeover. Maybe shave it. You know, like I'm not sure. I don't care. Just blemish that cow, please. Blemish those cows. We need blemished cows.
Can the eye to a red heifer?
What?
Don't they have to like queer eye for a straight guy?
Oh, and eye for a red heifer.
Tonight on Moo Moo Makeover.
This is Rebecca. She just turned two. She's in her third year now. She's being considered for the red heifer sacrifice. But we're going to change all that by piercing her ears. And giving her a brand that says Christ is King. Shut up. Do you want to be dead? All right. So that is our sixth seal. We're one seal away from the end, guys. I don't know. Okay. So maybe we'll have another seal next time.
Well,
if there is a next time.
If we actually do find the seventh seal, are we fucked?
Probably. If we find seven seals in one episode, I think we're fucked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are really good seals too. Like, these aren't just fuck around seals. These are find out seals. All right. So, that was our countdown to the apocalypse, busting seals. All right. That takes us to your virtue signal is broken. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't. The Metro had this article. It was the most self-indulgent piece of shit writing I've ever seen. And to sum it up, it's basically, I'm abrosexual and everyone else is a bigot. It's the most ludicrous So this is from the Metro.
What is an abrosexual? Let me explain, as it took me 30 years to finally realize my identity.
And it's like...
It took me 30 years of killing my brain cells.
To be idiotic enough to think that this shit matters to anybody.
When did you decide this? Is this even a label? I've never heard of it. I support you, obviously, but this doesn't sound real.
You think?
Just some words that greeted me when I came out as abrosexual to a close friend back in 2020.
Okay, people during lockdown had too much fucking time on their hands. Like, I'm sorry. You discovered this in 2020. You mean when you were fucking locked in your house with nothing to do other than scour the internet and be like, sometimes I like boys.
And being brainwashed by the propaganda that was on the screen.
Sometimes I like girls. But I don't really think I'm bi, because when I like boys, I only like boys. But when I like girls, I only like girls. But then sometimes I like both. Like, what am I?
I think those ads you told me about really did do a number on the brain cells.
Yeah, I think they did. Needless to say, we're not friends anymore. For those of you who don't know what abrosexuality is, in layperson's terms, it simply means when someone's sexual identity fluctuates and changes.
You mean like gender fluidity?
Gender fluidity. So this is...
Yes, educate us.
So this was like our article up from the UK where they did the super secret, sneaky, you know, they asked all their academics, like, is sex binary? Is gender binary? And the Brits were like, well, sex is binary because it applies to more than just humans. Whereas gender, because now we've given it a new definition, it's on a spectrum. So gender fluidity would just be like how I identify. Like, do I identify today as male or female? It has nothing to do with who I want to fuck. Sexuality has to do with who you want to fuck. Right? Because it's homosexuality, heterosexuality, bisexuality. That's who you want to fuck. Like, that's what that is. Asexuality. I don't want to fuck.
What's the I don't give a fuck sexuality?
I think that's the Israeli army. That
the idea. Damn it! We were close!
Sorry, guys. It just slipped out. So I read and reread the text. The dismissiveness of their message cutting deeper each time. How do we know that the person who texted this individual identifies as a they, them? I mean, it's one person. So did she, it, person, whoever, I'm wondering if the friend who texted her, the author, is a they, them, or if she just misgendered them. Like, that's what I'd like to know. Anyway, moving on. The dismissiveness of their message cutting deeper each time.
You sure she wasn't cutting herself?
Probably
she was. As she was writing this?
Here I was sharing my identity with someone I trusted, only for them to scoff at my words. You bitch, you're sharing it in a text. If you really wanted to share, like, if you're really trying to come out to, if this was a close friend, you would call them. Especially during lockdown, when nobody has shit to do anyways. You put them on fucking Zoom, right? You're like, so guess what? I've got something really exciting to tell you. I've been on, what was it? Not Instagram. What was the fucking little weird blog place that nobody really uses anymore, but they, not Reddit.
Maybe Tumblr?
Tumblr. Yeah. Tumblr is where all the gender identities got published. It was crazy. It's crazy gender craziness. So on day 32 of the lockdown, I was scrolling through Tumblr, and I found abrosexuality. And a girlfriend, boyfriend, it friend, I am abrosexual. And then your friend can be like, okay, what's abros? Like, you only like bros? Or, like, is it abro, like, without bros? Like, you're sexual for anybody who's not a bro? Because I can get behind that. You know, I'm not really into bros either. Like, I can be friends with a bro, but I'm not going to be sexually attracted to one. You know, and I'm pretty hetero, but also, no bros. Anyways.
Isn't that called incest?
Well, no, I'm not talking about, like, brother.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about...
Okay, different kind of bro.
Bro.
Okay, you know, got it. Just making sure we're not doing Alabama or Arkansas shit here.
Goodness, that's probably a sexuality for that, too,
I'm
now.
Sure there is. Yes. Insexuality. So she gets really hot and bothered over the... Not in a good way. Over the fact that her friend was, although it's easy defense that you can't determine someone's tone from a text message, I think it's clear the vibe was far from supportive.
It was judgmental and immediately doubtful. Wah, 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 wah. Because the person said, when did you decide this? Is this even a label? I've never heard of it. I support you, obviously, but this doesn't sound real. Like, I get it. I get it. It sounds made up. It sounds like it's literally like...
It is made up.
You do realize you accidentally uncovered the seventh seal, right?
Abrosexuality?
No. You reminded me of a World Economic Forum post recently about...
You will fuck everyone and be happy.
More like that they plan on legalizing or trying to...
legalize pedophilia, yeah.
To add it to the sexuality thing.
Yeah, well, but abrosexuality is not about that as far as this is concerned.
I damn well fucking hope not.
Sadly, this isn't the only person who voiced their opinions on my abrosexuality, and I doubt they'll be the last. When I was growing up, I never heard the term abrosexual because it did not exist, you fucking moron. Somebody wrote it during the pandemic because they were bored off their ass and high from watching the woo, 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 together alone ads, and you stumbled across it on Tumblr, and now you were like, oh my god, that's so totally me. You were either straight, gay, or lesbian. As far as the 90s were so... No, that's not... There were so many bi people in the 90s, you dumb bitch. You dumb bitch. She should be up for the dumb bitch award. Bi was, like, huge in the 90s. Of course, we know that's far from the truth. Of course, we know that's far from the truth, because you can be every sexuality that you can possibly imagine. Yeah, anyway, I won't go there. But societal blind spots mean we learn new terms much slower than if they're readily acceptable.
You know what? I'll accept the aboriginal, whatever the fuck, the two-spirit shit. Whatever. As long as it's not pedo. That's all I fucking care about. As long as you ain't...
aboriginal sexual.
As long as you ain't diddling kids, I don't give a shit.
I didn't learn about abrosexuality until 2 years ago when some other dumb bitch made it up. When I was 30. Up until that point, I'd struggled to identify what my sexuality was because it fluctuated so rapidly. So one day I felt like I was a lesbian. Yet days or weeks later, I feel more aligned with bisexuality. My sexuality was fluid. Before learning about abrosexuality, I felt lost, as if out at sea. I also felt like a fraud because of how much I changed my identity while chatting with loved ones. You felt like an attention-seeking whore, which you still are because you're writing this bullshit article. No one was intentionally hurtful. Oh, I'm being intentionally hurtful. Get your head straight, bitch. But I get the occasional...
Ooh, that's homophobic.
But you said you were a lesbian only last week. Okay, you know who was going to say, but you said you were a lesbian only last week? Your girlfriend. Your girlfriend who's wondering why you want cock now because you were a lesbian last week. And then it's like,
maybe she's the perfect candidate for a trans person.
It's like, finally, I feel seen.
She's a perfect candidate for a psychiatrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called a fucking eyesore.
So, while discovering a new term for me has been hugely beneficial to understanding myself better, to some people, my identity is one that evokes confusion. When I tell people I'm abrosexual, I'm often greeted by blank expression, because nobody's heard of your dumb Tumblr shit, bitch. like, just be bi or pansexual, because that it's the same thing.
All right, here's the dumb question of the episode. What's the obsession with labels?
That is the most hysterical thing for me, mm-hmm. as someone who's, like, tail end of Gen X, like, Gen Y, the erased generation, Gen Y, is that we were just, like, anti-label. Like, Gen X may have stood for, like, X as far as, like, no more labels. Like, you had movies like The Breakfast Club, which was all about crossing lines of cliques and roles and labels and, like, kids coming together and, you know, the song, like, Don't You Forget About Me, which is a totally iconic song that was basically, like, I'm more than just the label that society gives me. And so the era that I grew up in, no one cared. If you were gay, straight, bi, trans, like, I mean, I went to Rocky Horror Picture Show. That was kind of coming of age when you were 18. You'd go see Rocky Horror. Nobody cared if you were Asian, black, Hispanic, like, nobody fucking cared. We did not care. We were living MLK's dream. But also, private things were still private. So, like, you didn't have to, like, wear your sexuality on your shoulder. You'd see, you know, a friend, like, with a same-sex partner, and you'd be like, oh, that's new. And if you have close friends, you'd be like, so how long have you been playing for the home team? You know, like, I mean, you'd ask, and the person wouldn't get, like, all strung out. They'd be like, yeah, well, I don't know. I went on this date, and one thing led to another. And you'd be like, oh, cool, dude. And that was it. That was fucking it. And now it's like, no, but I need, this is my identity. And you need to see me the way I see myself. And like, bitch, ain't nobody going to see you the way you see yourself. Like, just wake up and deal with reality. Because I can see myself as a beautiful, pretty princess, you know, but it's just not good. Nobody else is good. My mom sees her cat as a princess and she doesn't see me as a princess. So I'm in competition with a fucking Maine Coon cat and the Maine Coon wins as the princess and I do not. So yeah, if I can't even get my mom to see me as the same thing as her cat, I don't think this lady face can expect people to acknowledge her.
Are we sure she's a lady?
She looks very feminine. Her tits look real. Yeah. I mean, she's a cute girl, but she's just obviously so narcissistic she's not apersexual. She's a fucking narcissist and an attention seeking whore. Like that's what she is. The thing that drives me crazy is this part at the end where she's all like, you know, one question I've been asked about is how being apersexual impacts my love life. In short, it doesn't. It doesn't alter my romantic relationships in the same way being bisexual doesn't, because cause a person to feel any differently about their partner. I love the person rather than their gender, so it doesn't matter if my sexuality fluctuates while I'm with them.
What?
But it does, because if you are munching on carpets, and then all of a sudden you're like, got a hankering for cock this week. And your girlfriend, who only has a carpet to munch on, is like, I don't have what you're suddenly craving. You know, then that means what? You're going out to the cock store to buy a foot long? Like, I don't. You're going to Costco to pick yourself out a foot long dong to munch on for. And then you're going to tell him.
No. She's going to run down to the 7-Eleven and get that foot long.
Okay. So, but then you're going to tell him like, oh, you know what? I was heteronormative this week, but I really need to go back to my girlfriend because I love her and I'm feeling more bisexual this week. So I think I can be involved with both of you. But like last week, I just couldn't munch any more carpet. Like, I mean, because it's strictly who you want to have sex with.
So if you're with choking on that hairball,
if you're with your partner, then if your sexuality changes, you're like, babe, I love you. I just don't want to fuck you.
Oh, I get it now. When you munch too much carpet and are choking on that hairball, the cock is like the snake that like
cleans out the drain. I'm sorry, this is super vulgar, but also this it makes me feel super vulgar because I'm just so grossed out about. You're not talking about sexual. You're not talking about relationships. You're not talking about love. You're talking about sexuality. And then if you're with somebody in a relationship, they're like, I don't want to have sex with what you are this week because my sexuality just fluctuated. Like, how can that make a person feel secure in a relationship?
It don't.
I love you. I just don't want to fuck you. Like, what? Have we been married for 10 years? Like, I don't.
This sounds more like a step further into multiple personality disorder.
Yeah. And so, like, she goes back. At the end of the article, she goes back to, like, I wish I knew why my friend reacted to my identity in such a hurtful way. Before coming out as apersexual, I felt restricted, unable to be myself because I didn't know how to accept the parts of me I didn't understand. But now that I know I can put a name on my identity, I'm excited to see how that fluidity emerges.
Wait, like, why does everything have to be fucking named?
Well, also, in this article, too, it's like me, 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 me,
wah, 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 wah.
So, yeah, it's just like deep narcissism. And
is she Beaker from the Muppets?
Me, 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 maybe. Me, 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 me.
Please don't insult poor Beaker.
Poor Beaker.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I think this girl definitely has a broken virtuous signal. Stop trying to be queer, or stop trying to be differently queer. Like, you know,
stop trying to give a name to what you are. Just be you.
Just be you. Just be you, and stop. Like, this is my label, and I need you to know it and accept it and learn it and love it and live it because it's my label. Like,
no one cares about
just
labels.
Just be you. Just don't obsess over you, because the universe doesn't revolve around you. Go fuck yourself.
All right, and finally, that brings us to, you guys, I know we talk about a lot of stuff that makes us all crazy, but this is a good one. So, good news, everyone!
Oh!
This is our Futurama segment. It's from CNN.com. This new spending bill tells DEI office to bite its shiny metal ass. Do you want to talk about this one at all, Drizzy?
So, DEI advocates are fearing the consequences now that the U.S. House of Representatives has officially disbanded the Office of Diversity and Inclusion.
Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Why did they create one?
Excuse me?
You know what? You're right. No, it says Diversity and Inclusion.
Okay,
so
that's not
even DEI. Either this person, either this AI fucked up, because I don't think anybody's actually writing shit anymore. Like, it's credited to 3 people, and none of them caught that it was diverse. Either our government fucked up and called it diversity and inclusion, or the writer fucked up.
Our government fucked up creating the office in the first place.
This is just a coincidence, I'm sure. But the director of the House of Representatives office, or former Office of Diversity and Inclusion, happened to be Dr. Sesha Joy Moon.
Is she a full moon or a new moon?
Or
half moon? I don't know. You tell me.
She looked half-baked.
I mean, she looks like a wannabe cat woman.
DEI is such a bullshit job because basically, I mean, we had DEI is not a new. It's basically rebranded to like be the equal opportunity. We used to have EEO, equal opportunity something.
EEO, equal opportunity
employer,
or is EEE. Oh, no, EOE. Yeah.
Yeah,
EOE. Equal Opportunity Employee.
And so we even had that in the military. And it was bullshit then, and it's bigger bullshit now. Because diversity, equity, inclusion is a fucking money laundering scam. And I, for one, am really happy that the government's no longer funding it at the government office.
Talking about scams, it was first formed in March 2020. What a coincidence. There was another scam that was unleashed during March 2020.
Abrosexuality?
That too.
So many scams were released then.
Oh my god. So yeah, according to the website, the office's key duties had included financial management, candidate service, member service, research and data analytics, and professional development. What the fuck does that have to do with equality?
Well, so we're gonna research, like, how many gay people and how many abrosexuals.
And how many gay dinosaurs.
And how many people who identify as dinosaurs. And how many furries. And how many disabled people. And how many people with 1/10 Cherokee Indian. And how many people. Like, we're going to go through all, we're going to subdivide and categorize, and we're going to create tabs on folders, and, you know, the people with the most check marks win, and it doesn't really matter if they have an education or can do the job, we're just going to diversify.
In a joint statement, members of the congressional...
A joint statement.
Possibly.
And then we'll have a statement.
No, thanks. I'm allergic to stupid. So, the members of Congressional Black Associates, Congressional Asian Pacific American Staff Association, Congressional Hispanic Staff Association, and the Senate Black Legislative Staff Caucus released this joint statement on Monday,
Not to be confused with the Streptococcus. Mm. It's the staff infection version, the staff caucus.
It sounds like a bunch of joint.
All right, so here's my thing. All these motherfuckers are American congressional officers.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly.
Theoretically, they're all U.S. citizens serving in the United States Congress.
Uh-huh.
So why the fuck do we have United Color of Benetton, like, divvied up into different, like, rainbow groups? I'm in the yellow group. I am in the green group. I'm in the purple group.
Because, like, they need to do the Power Rangers.
But where's the White Ranger?
White Ranger is racist.
Poor Tommy.
You know, they already are divvied up into these fake political parties that they pretend to be part of just so they can launder more money and scam the American people. Like, to divide their divisions up into other divisions so that they can be divided according to race and ethnicity.
They united to come up with the statement on Monday the 25th, last month at this point, saying how disheartened they were by the loss of this office and how it played a pivotal role in increasing diversity in Congress. But unfortunately, the politicization of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives has led to those resources being stripped away from Capitol Hill staff despite their impact. Eradicating efforts that promote diversity and inclusion could reduce opportunities for staffers of color, creating further barriers to representation in a body that already does not adequately reflect the diversity of the country it represents.
That is such bullshit.
Thank you.
on so many levels. But, okay, first of all, so you're Black congressional officer, you probably won, generally speaking, a Black, predominantly Black district. And so, you know, people want to elect you because they feel like you represent their values. And hopefully it's not just based on your skin color. Hopefully you ran a good campaign and, you know, you represent their values. And so you come to DC. Well, now if you think that diversity is like the real important thing, go hire your Black staffers. Like, nobody's going to say, oh, you've got too many Black staffers. Like, they'll be like, okay, These are going to be the people who most, maybe you brought them from your district and your district is predominantly Black. Nobody's going to fucking say boo. You know, like, it's up to you. And we've got a lot of people in Congress of every color of the rainbow. It honestly probably more than represents the legitimate diaspora of the country. I think we're really at about parity. I mean, maybe less than, because I mean, Senate, you've got only 100, right? 100 senators. And if you look at the real numbers of percentages of the population, we probably have more ethnic diversity in the Senate than we actually do in the country. I would guess. I don't know for a fact, but I bet you some groups are overrepresented in the Senate as opposed to, because you can go straight across with like 100 senators, that's 100%. So. And are you voting for the people in your district as their surrogate? Or are you just voting for fucking party politics, which is just money laundering and bullshit and wars and putting money into the pockets of people who do not fucking, like, really deserve it? So, yeah, there's so much wrong with Congress. I am really glad that ding dong, DEI is dead. And shame on you. Shame on you. You freaking congressional reps and staffers. Like, oh, we think it's bad that DEI, like, no. Shut up. You represent this country. You don't represent DEI. DEI is not politicized, by the way. That was my biggest caveat with that statement. DEI is corporatized. DEI is fascism. DEI is corporatization seeping into government, using a corporate ideal from WEF, Davos, to infiltrate our governments and say, like, oh, you're doing it wrong if you don't have more representation than you do of actual populace. So it's fascism. It has no place in government. It's not political at all. So that's a lie. So I'm sorry you're stupid, people who said that thing, but you're dumb and you're uneducated, but and you're serving your corporate overlords.
As we pointed out, in our first couple of episodes, they're probably all owned by BlackRock anyway, so are you honestly surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, but I'm just going to call out the biggest lie in that statement.
What I think they meant about politicization is like the left being totally in favor of DEI and the right being almost totally against it. I think that's what they meant.
And yes, that is the current
trend.
The current charade. Because I don't really think it's like, I think there's a lot of people, like voters on the left, who also think DEI is bollocks.
Yeah.
But you've got the parties
themselves.
You've got the party that's being co-opted, and the right would never actually oppose it because they're just as owned as the left.
Yeah.
So
they just gotta appease their constituents that are mostly against it.
So, but I mean, I'm glad to see at least one thing shut down. And we can't use a spending bill to shut down wars and stop sending bombs to kill people, but we can at least get rid of DEI. So Yay! Good news, everybody!
One step at a time.
So that's the end of our show tonight. We didn't even really do any good April Fools, did we?
Well, actually, I found a really good April Fools for you. Mm-hmm. You thought Bill Gates was the culprit in killing the sun?
Well, he's you know.
He's talked about it.
Well, scientists in South Korea have announced a new world record for the length of time a fake sun sustained temperatures of 100 million degrees Celsius, 7 times hotter than the real sun's core, during a nuclear fusion experiment. And they're hoping that this is the holy grail of climate solutions because it has the potential for limitless energy without planet warming carbon pollution.
Those Korean scientists are going to end up dead. Because
that's
you can't
the
interfere
joke.
With the oil, and you can't interfere with the yeah. No, okay.
Jokes on them.
But they're saying that the globe is warming, and they're saying they're making a sun that's 7 times hotter than our sun.
It's jokes on them. It's gonna backfire.
poor Korean scientists. They think they're doing something good for the good of humanity, and they're just leaving their children as orphans. Anyways. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we love you. We were seriously suppressed last week. We probably said too much about a certain nation state in the Middle East.
that seems to be committing genocide right now.
That rhymes with Israel. but you know, I think we've made our positions pretty clear. Like, we don't hate on anybody. We just hate to see people.
We hate everybody.
We hate everybody. we just hate to see people, you know, dying needlessly and it's not
suffering.
A good thing. Yeah. So, you know, maybe take some time during that solar eclipse to pray for peace and think happy thoughts and don't let the morons get you down. Signing off. This is AG.
Link.
Jersey girl.
And that's a wrap.